Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education. 9:46 the time, coming up 10 o'clock, the Midday 180 comes along. Of course, the NBA draft will be along a little bit later on this week on Thursday. And this guy, really proud of him. He's, of course, was an all-conference guard at Belmont and started Pure Sweat Basketball, and has really done a great job training both the NBA players and prospects in these. Of course, from St. Louis, where they're celebrating the Stanley Cup and everything else. Drew Hanlon, what's going on this morning, Drew?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Did you get to St. Louis for the Cup celebration?
I did not. It's actually funny. I was one of those bandwagon fans where I was really just cheering on the Blues because of me being from St. Louis, and because my dad had, I was down, it's a cool story, I was down in Vegas doing a speech, and I brought my dad with me. He had never been to Vegas before, believe it or not. So I brought him down there, and we're getting ready to head to the airport. He said, "Drew, I can't go to the airport until I place my blue Stanley Cup bid." And I said, "What do you?" I said, "Pops, they're not going to win. They never win." He said, "Listen, I got to buy them." And so he had bought some tickets with some crazy odds. And so I was pulling for him hard because of those two things, my dad's faith and me being from St. Louis. But no, I honestly watched game 7. That was the first game I had watched in 10 years.
So is your dad retired now after all cashing in his winnings?
He didn't have the bet that one guy that was floating around that had the $100,000.
Right.
But I will say it was pretty cool that he was very adamant on casting, going out and getting his ticket, because he was sure they were going to win, and for them to pull it off was pretty fun.
All right, let's start with a guy close to home here. Your evaluation of Belmont's Dylan Windler, super skilled, excellent shooter. What do you think the chances are we might be surprised with his selection on Thursday?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's a guy I've talked to a lot of NBA execs that really like him, especially in today's NBA game where teams value shooting and defense. He was a great defender at Belmont. He really shot it well. And so those are two things that teams value. And a lot of execs have the same kind of opinion on him. As long as he gets on a team that where the ball kind of sees both sides of the floor, meaning a team with good ball movement, they think he can really make an impact right away. And so, him being on a rookie deal for the next couple of years, I think he'll be in the first round, late first round, somewhere between, 20 and 30. But I think he'll find a good team and play a good role where he can kind of be a cheap shooter for the next couple of years.
As a guy who's played point guard, what impresses you most about Ja Morant and really his vision of the court?
Yeah, I did. I've done some film work for Ja. I mean, he's super impressive. Just his shiftiness, his ability to move defenders laterally and then get by them kind of north-south. Has good vision, has good touch on his shot. He'll have to raise his pocket a little bit, get it a little bit quicker. But, everybody at that stage in the game has something to work on. But really like his upside and a great kid. And a lot of times when guys are really hard workers and great people, you just kind of bet on them because you know that eventually they're going to figure it out.
I saw the photo of you with Taco Fala of UCF. Can he develop his skills enough to be an effective NBA player?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny. When I first got him, everybody kind of saw his free throw shooting and kind of was almost laughable. But, we've changed his free throw where he's consistently making 70 to 80 in workouts. Obviously, there's always kind of in-game adjustments that you have to make just because so much of free throw shooting is confidence. But we've worked on his balance. We've worked on this simple kind of hook with his right hand, haven't even really worked on his left hand much besides just dropping it over the rim. He's going to be a guy that it might take 2 or 3 years, but with his length and size and his work ethic, he's going to eventually be able to play a role in the NBA. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't realize when evaluating prospects is, a lot of times, they're asking, what can they do right now? But really what you have to do, and some of these guys that are more potential kids, is what can they eventually become if they put in the work? And then you have to ask the question, are they going to work? And he's one of those guys that is going to work and knows where he needs to get better at, and he's working hard every day to kind of close that gap.
Talking about some NBA prospects with Drew Hanlon of Pure Sweat Basketball.
Hey, Drew, I was going to ask you about Taco since you guys were talking about him, but Is there any way that he's going to develop, a three-point shot with the way the league is going today to get him on the court sooner than later? That's probably one of the biggest benefits of a big if you can shoot. Can he shoot from that far, or has he even worked on that approach that yet?
No, we're not even close to adding a three-point shot to his game. Right now we're just sticking to his strengths. So his strengths are, defense on the defensive end, being able to use his length to really impact shots. We worked on basically, being a better defender without fouling, because last year, one of the things that he struggled with in college was he fouled too much, down at the rim. He kind of, had his hands not go vertical. So we've worked on that. We worked on his free throw shooting. He shot, I think, 35% from the free throw line. So that's something that, it's hard to play a guy that is a liability at the line. So we've worked on that. He's cleaned that up. And then we just worked on a couple simple post moves just really to give him good balance. And if teams double team him, for him to be able to pass out, we know that he's going to be more of a screen and roll type of guy. Kind of look at kind of what Boban did for the Sixers this year. Just being a solid guy where you can use his kind of defensive length to kind of mix up the game if you're playing against a good scorer. But no, I don't think you'll ever. I mean, if you're talking to Taco, he might joke around and say, "Yeah, I'm going to be firing him up there." But I don't think he'll ever be shooting him. He'll be shooting threes, but that's okay. He can impact the game in other ways. Mm.
Give us your thoughts on the Tennessee kids, and I say that Tennessee, the Vols with Bone, Grant Williams, and Admiral Schofield. So, what do you think about those guys?
Yeah, we've actually had Williams came in the gym not too long ago. He's getting ready for his pro day, so I've seen him up close. He can actually shoot it a lot better than I thought. He had a really good touch and extended out the NBA range. But all three of those guys, and again, there's a lot of guys in this category. When you get up after the, maybe top two groups, there's always the top three are kind of cemented, and then you have that group that's like 3 through 9 to 10 that can kind of kind of mix around depending on where teams go. But from that kind of late lottery all the way until the early second round, I think there's guys that are going to be kind of picked on fit instead of just picked on kind of best available. So I think those guys can go anywhere on draft night.
How good do you think Darius Garland can become, after we just got a glimpse of his game during his short time at Vandy?
Yeah, I've worked with him a few times at different camps, and he's a really good kid, really shifty, has really deep range, which I really like, because anytime that you can shoot, behind ball screens and force the defense to really guard you and then have the ability to get downhill and make a play, you're super valuable. He's a guy that I think will be really, really good. He's obviously, been out for a year, which some people would say that really hurts you, but it also helps you slow down sometimes. And I think that, he's going to be a guy that's going to have more poise than a lot of other rookie point guards coming in. And I hope the best for him. He's another great kid. He's worked with a ton of, Nashville trainers and kind of been homegrown. So I'm cheering for him. And we talk here and there. But the biggest thing that he knows is he's just got to be able to take care of the ball. He's got to make shots and then just make the right play instead of trying to make the hero play. And if he does those things and stays within his game, I think that he can have an impact right away.
Well, Drew, I want to ask you about what do you think about Toronto winning the championship? And naturally, Kawhi played exceptionally well, but I thought a great role player, probably as good as you, is Van Fleet. What did you think about Van Fleet as well?
Man, just because I'm from Belmont and everything, I always cheer on kind of the mid-major guys,
yeah.
Guys that kind of went to a school that was probably the best fit instead of just going to the biggest school. And he had a lot of success in college. Love that he's having success in the NBA. And I think that's one of the things that's kind of overlooked sometimes is during the draft prospects, we focus on what these guys eventually can do, kind of potential, instead of just production. And if you look at guys like Van Fleet, if you look at the Draymond Greens of the world, there's a lot of guys that have been impactful in college that kind of get overlooked because they're maybe a little bit older or they've been a four-year player in college, et cetera. But I love tough, gritty guards and what he did, especially, I know there was a stat that he was shooting like over 50% from three ever since he had a kid, but whatever happened when he had a kid that night really helped out Toronto because he was on fire in the playoffs, but just super gritty, knocked down tough shots and really played a valuable role in the reason that they end up getting the job done.
Drew, thanks a lot for the time this morning. Great stuff.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Appreciate we'll see you. It's Drew Hanlon, founder of Pure Sweat Basketball, a guy who was an all-conference guard at Belmont during his playing days with the Bruins. He's trained he described a lot of these NBA prospects. Be back with you tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. Find out how Vanderbilt does against Mississippi State tonight in the College World Series. Midday 180 is coming up next. 104.5 The Zone, the wake-up zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery.
Wu-Tang, y'all.